All right. Recorder went on and it is time. At this time, I'd like to open the work session for November 10th. Open, call the order. You'll take roll as we go.
Yep.
First item is candidate interviews. Candidates here? Nope. So we have one online. All right. So our first candidate is Rita, and she is on Zoom with us. And, go ahead and take yourself off of Zoom, Rita.
Mute.
Excuse me.
There we go. Okay.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, thanks.
Yeah, so you're now in the interviewing portion of this evening where we're looking at you for the Business Advisory Committee. I hope you're not nervous because you have no reason to be nervous.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
Just gives us an opportunity to have a little conversation with you and kind of
know
you a little bit. It's really easy. And, you know, let's start out. First thing I think most of us would like to do is hear from you, from your own words, why you're interested in this position.
So my name's Rita Andrus, and my family, my husband, my son, and I own an eye clinic, Crystal Vision Clinic. And so we've been a part of Crystal for many, many years. And we're building our new building on Botno Boulevard. And the Blue Line extension is to run along Botno Boulevard. So we're very, very much wanting to stay informed and on top of it and to try to have a voice and try to get some feedback in if they're starting to make decisions that that we think might impact that Botno Boulevard and the businesses along that corridor.
All right. Makes sense to me. Do you have any questions for us at this point in terms of what this looks like?
No, I've done quite a bit of my own kind of research. I've certainly been going to some of the meetings, the Blue Line Extension meetings, and I've, you know, read every article and the website. I've gone through the website. I've tried to learn as much as I can. So my understanding is just that Crystal, he's got one opening for a business, and so that's what I applied for.
All right. Questions from council members? John, go ahead.
Hi, Rita. It's John Buduszewski. How are you?
Good. Hi.
I was just wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about your experiences riding light rail.
Oh, riding light rail. Not much. I don't have much experience because I live out in the suburbs. I've done some riding of it in, you know, when I go downtown to go to a football game and that kind of thing. My son, Chase, Dr. Chase Endres, he lived in the city for 4 or 5 years. So he used it quite a bit to get himself to the airport and to maybe go to functions over in St. Paul and that kind of thing. So he certainly has had experiences with that. So I probably have more just kind of from talking with him about his experiences. Yes.
And just to follow up, I mean, generally, would you say that he's had a positive experience involving light rail?
I think he's had a mixture. And certainly when 2020 turned our world upside down, I think definitely he noticed, he had more unpleasant experiences with it starting from that point on. Prior to that, he loved it for, you know, getting himself to the airport, or we went to a concert together and we met him and went. So we've used it in ways that were great, but he definitely noticed, I think, that 2020, since then, there's been more issues where it's some safety and cleanliness issues and things like that. So,
but nothing that involved him, like he wasn't involved in any kind of altercation. It was just more something that he observed.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Nancy.
Hi, Rita. This is Nancy LaRoche. And mm-hmm. first wanted to thank you for signing up for this. And I'm very pleased and impressed that you've attended some of the Blue Line meetings, very familiar reading articles, and the depth of knowledge that you have is very encouraging, especially as a business owner. And as you wrote on your application, that this has a direct impact with your new location coming up on Botno Boulevard. So I appreciate that. And are the meetings an issue for you? I think they're during the day, right? Weekdays are doable for you?
Yes. And I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, because it's been a while since I looked, but it was Tuesday mornings, I think at 8 o'clock. Was it the second Tuesday of the month? So there might be a couple that I can't attend because I'll be out of town. Mm-hmm. I talked to John Sutter about that, and he said someone from the business could attend in my place.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And so I have a staff member that I've been communicating with that she would sit in for me, but I would be very much involved in making sure she has all the documents and so on. If by chance the Blue Line would offer like a Zoom opportunity like this, then I really wouldn't have to miss any.
That's good to know. Also, just a side note, thank you and Crystal Vision Clinic. I had a great experience getting my new glasses. Loving
great,
them.
Great, thank
little
you.
Little plug for your business too. That I'm just very impressed with your application and experience and depth of knowledge and commitment. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions? John.
Hi, John Budashevsky again. I was wondering if you had a chance to look at the layouts for the Blue Line. Have you seen any of the new drawings?
The most recent one I looked at was the one where they were talking about the where they were going to put that station on Bass Lake Road and whether they would take Botno Boulevard up above and create the station underneath, or just have it straight across and have that there. So that's the most recent one that I've seen.
Do you have an opinion one way or the other based on what type of intersection you prefer?
Yeah, I do. I would prefer that it not be underneath a bridge, just to keep it, I think, just more visible. Just my sense of that if you're trying to help the police manage safety issues, I think just having things more visible, I think, would be a better solution.
As opposed to pedestrians trying to cross 81 during rush hour traffic?
Is this a condition of your vote?
It could be.
I think that managing the certainly traffic lights and so on, and being able to have the gates that would come down, I would prefer that it not have the overpass.
Gates? I don't know if there's gates involved because it runs with, well, whatever. I mean, just that you would at least have an open mind when it comes to both interchanges. So
I would say that is something about me for sure, is that I am very open-minded. I'm good at listening to both sides of everything. That's, as an English teacher, that's pretty much what I taught my students all those years. So I'm not a person who gets attached to an idea and I can't rethink something and change my mind. I'm very open to listening to feedback. Yeah.
Just one more follow-up question.
Yeah.
So, and Rita, you've been a business owner here in the Crystal community for a long time. Do you recall the 169 Botno Boulevard, County Road 81, and the Burlington Northern Santa Fe so-called Devil's Triangle? Do you remember that? It was about 20 years ago. Have you ever driven through that area?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other questions?
Next steps.
Next steps. We do an approval process pretty quick, and then we'll have staff contact you quickly. It'll be fairly quickly, probably next, within a week. Is that right, Kim?
I'm not sure. It's not on for the next week's agenda.
Okay, so we won't be approving it for...
But we'll be approving it soon at an upcoming council meeting.
it won't be this next council meeting, which is next week. It'll be the following one, which is
actually it will be
next week.
Yes, but we were waiting to the timing of the packet is interesting because the packet went out today before sure. this meeting, and so it's a plate. There is a placeholder on the agenda for this.
Okay.
And right. No. So you not. Sorry, it is not because of the timing of this meeting. We couldn't put it on an agenda.
Okay.
For next Tuesday, but it will be in the December.
So our vote will be the first week in December. And you will certainly hear before that.
Yeah.
In fact, there's really no reason you wouldn't hear sooner than like a week out.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to thank you for your willingness to serve. It really takes it takes some courage for individuals in our community to step forward and serve like this, voluntarily taking their time. Oftentimes people have very, very busy lives and they still manage to step forward and volunteer. And I recognize that and I want to thank you for that. So appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So next is Ryan Johnson. We have Ryan on Zoom at all. Ryan in the hallway.
Can he get in the building?
Yeah. Did he miss the last interview? Did he miss the last interview?
Yes.
Okay, so he's got 4 minutes to his allotted slot. Is that it?
Well, did you have ballots for people? It's on something that you're. Oh, it's not blue. That's what for me. I think they used to be blue.
Green.
Or green. Sorry. Thank you. And, white works too. It's just we're gonna try something new.
Yeah. Yeah, we did a sheet. Like
I don't have one.
Yeah, you do, but
here. Oh, I have them.
You missed it too.
You missed it too. Just like Nancy. Don't worry.
Right? You're looking for a colored sheet of paper and it threw me off.
It's been a long week.
We're going to wait a couple minutes, but yeah, you can stage.
So do we have, so he would Zoom in, is that correct? Or would he be here in person? Not sure.
He can Zoom in or he can come in.
Do you know what his
preference was?
Yeah. Did he say anything at all?
Yeah, I have not heard he was.
Oh, all right.
All right, Ryan, can you hear me?
Yes. Right. Yep.
Okay. We're ready to start with you.
All right.
Are you here on audio only or?
Yeah, I got video. Just a second.
There he is.
Oh, hey.
Ryan.
Oh, hey. There you are. Well, welcome. We're going to do a quick interview. I hope I hope you're not nervous about it. It should be pretty easy. Just kind of having a conversation between the council and you, and for us, it gives us an opportunity to get to know you a little bit better. Usually we start these things when we do a commission appointment or this type of appointment. We'd like for you to kind of tell us in your own words why you're interested in this position.
Yeah, sure. It's a project that I've been following personally even before we moved to Crystal. There's the blue line and the other line extensions has been good. I like the infrastructure building, particularly now I work downtown And this would be a great benefit for me if it came here, and I think benefit for the town. And I'm just excited to see it come through, and just want to see if I can help make it happen.
Okay. Awesome. Are there any, do you have any questions for us in terms of, any questions for us in relation to this?
Just confirmations. If I believe it was like once a month, right?
Pretty much once a month. Depending on, sometimes you get called into the CMC meeting. There's always reporting done there by both organizations, whether it be the Community Advisory Committee or the Business Advisory Committee. So there will be those opportunities. Usually one representative is sent, and whether that's you or not, I have no idea. So they kind of self choose who would go to that. But yes, I think that's daytime availability. Is that right? 9 o'clock in the morning is when those meetings are. That's doable.
Yeah, definitely. I got a flexible schedule.
Okay, good. John, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
Hi, Ryan. It's John Budashevsky. Just have a quick question for you. Did you have an opportunity to look at the most recent drawings for the Botnell Boulevard light rail extension?
Yeah, we, the family and I went and we looked at the mock-up at the community center when it was posted there with it going down Botnell. And that definitely looked good. And like the idea of either having it, having a way like it goes over the highway or under, how people would get on it at the 63rd. I thought that was interesting if that was finalized or not, because I think they're looking at a couple different mock-ups for that.
Yeah, I haven't seen any drawings for 63rd, but most specifically for us was the Bass Lake Road, mm-hmm. you know, County Road 81, Botnell Boulevard. That interchange, what that would look like if it would be at grade or basically up and over with County Road 81 going over Bass Lake Road. So you've seen that. And do you have a preference or do you have an open mind in terms of like looking at, you know, either option? How would you describe that?
Yeah, I definitely don't have a preference at this point. It's, you know, good to look at that, and there's pros and cons in either way, really.
And then one last question.
Yeah, go ahead.
How long have you lived in the city?
Now you're making me think here. I think since 2016, so about 5 years.
Okay. Well, that's still a long time. Yeah. Because the reason being, I asked the other applicant, it was about 20 years ago, we had 169 and County Road 81 and the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad were all at grade. And they used to refer to that area of land as the Devil's Triangle. And so I know it's kind of a, you know, when you drive down County Road 81 to get to 169 and whatnot with the train, it looks completely different. And it's not quite as, how would you say, a tangled mess as it once was. But that experience was, for me, I used to avoid that area, you know, immensely, because you could spend 20 minutes at the light waiting for the train to pass through. So anyways,
traumatic.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. So anyways, do you have any questions for us about the process or the project or anything like that?
Yeah, I guess I'm curious on what's the reception been so far to it, and like the proposed changes.
It's mixed.
Yeah, our council's mixed in terms of their preferences. We just saw the at grade option for the first time last month. It's something that we wanted to see from the get-go. And they finally did it in a way that was kind of comparable to the way they proposed the diamond, the off-ramp type thing. So, I think there's still a lot to talk about in terms of what our preferences are, what we need to see happen in Crystal, And yeah, really, I guess, you know, I don't know if you've paid much attention to this council. We have a very diverse group here, and we have very different ideas, and we come from things at very different directions. And it's something that I think is, at the end of the day, is really good. And with you having an open mind, it kind of reflects all of those views. You know, if you can take those all in and be that representative, that's a positive thing. So good for you.
Yeah, definitely. I manage a global team, so I'm used to hearing diverse voices from Singapore, Hong Kong, UK, here, Boston.
Yeah, I would bet. All right, any other questions? All right, our process is, this won't hit our agenda till December, first meeting in December. And that's when we'll be approving this position. Chances are you'll hear from a staff member within the next week or so. That's our process. That's all we got. Anything else before we let you go?
No. Thanks for your time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Ryan.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
All right.
See you. Bye.
Moved him up at the top of the screen. I thought he was gone already. Where'd you go? All right. So feel free to fill out your forms and pass them along.
One of these white pen ones, sorry. Thank you. I didn't know.
Yeah, just say, okay, just read this.
Yeah, that should do it.
Yeah.
Cool, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, next item on the agenda is the discussion with our attorneys regarding the matter of David Beeson and Kathy Beeson versus the City of Crystal. This section of our work session is going to be closed. In order to do so, we'll need to do a motion on that. Go ahead.
Yep. So I make a motion to go into closed session to have an attorney-client protected discussion with the city's attorney under Minnesota Statute Section 13D05, Subdivision 3B, regarding the matter of David Beeson and Kathy Beeson versus the City of Crystal and JUFH Enterprises, LLC.
All right. Looking for a second. Nancy?
I'll second.
All right. Thank you. So we are officially closed.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
It's a quick vote on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All members in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. All right, we are closed.
Yep. Then we need to.
Those people online in the waiting room.
All right.
All right. Is Olga allowed to stay on? Well, she's on Zoom, right? Is Olga allowed to stay on?
Is that her iPhone?
I think so.
Well.
We need to make sure that's Olga before we put her back in.
Is there a way to
can ask you check that, Matt?
Yeah, give me a second. Let me see if she responds to chat or a voice message here.
And we have to, looks like it's still recording.
Apparently, I cannot chat directly to her, so I'm not sure if anybody else has her cell phone and can reach out quickly.
Do you need the number? Do we have? Let's see if I do.
Can we stop the recording?
Yeah, 1 second.
Nope.
No, the recording.
Stop the recording.
Let me do a. So the third item on our agenda is the petition regarding the ordinance number 202206. And Our attorney Troy is here to address the council on that. Hi, Troy. Hey,
good evening, Mr. Mayor and council. So this is the first petition process that I've had in my time with the city here, though I understand you had one earlier than that or previous to me being here. Your charter reserves for the residents the right of petition and referendum. So that's in the charter. I know you all know that because we just went through the charter not all that long ago and updated it. And we didn't touch that section. So that section has been in your charter for a long time. It gives the residents an opportunity that if they don't like an ordinance that you pass, they can circulate a petition. They have to get a certain number based on the number of folks on the prior election and petition you to say, I don't want that ordinance to go into effect. They have 30 days, that 30-day window. That's why you have a delayed effective date on your ordinances. First reading, second reading, you adopt it. It doesn't go into effect for 30 days. That 30-day window is specifically to allow that petition referendum to take place. And that's what happened here with respect to your UDC various amendment update. It was a large ordinance with a lot of small amendments in it. It was processed, developed and processed as a corrective amendment. But the petition was circulated. I went through the process. The city clerk reviewed the signatures and verified that it was signed by more than enough residents to go into effect. And so under the charter, the go into effect means the ordinance does not go into effect. It was received within that period, verified. So the ordinance really just gets in this sort of in-between section. What the charter says is that at your next regular meeting, you need to decide as a council whether to repeal it or to reaffirm it. Now, the timing was a little odd because the way it was brought in, the verification of the signatures didn't happen until the afternoon of your meeting. So obviously, we didn't have time to bring it to you.
We couldn't give proper notice.
No. Well, it would have been 2 hours or get ready for it, frankly. So that's why it's going to be continued over to your meeting next week. And so this is an opportunity to certainly ask questions about the process. The two options, obviously, if you repeal, that means it just never goes into effect. It never went into effect, and you're just saying, fine, we'll just let that sit on the shelf. It'll never go into effect. If you reaffirm, it still doesn't go into effect. Instead, what it does is then part of that decision is you pick an election date for it to be asked by ballot to the electors. And then it goes to the voters, and if they approve it, well, then it goes into effect. If they don't approve it, then it doesn't go into effect, or never goes into effect. So really your decision on Tuesday night is to adopt a resolution one way or the other on that. Now, one thing that's interesting is because the packet deadline was yesterday, I ended up providing you a memo and two resolutions because we didn't have the benefit of this conversation. So I didn't know which way, if you had any particular consensus one way or the other. So you'll have them both in front of you in your packet for next week. I'm not suggesting one or the other, just, you know, I'm just saying I didn't know which way you want to go. So here's both, and that way you can decide which way you want to go. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have on the process. It's really not all that, you know, do you want to reaffirm it and go to put it to the voters for a vote? Or do you want to just say, well, fine, we'll just leave it as it is, and then you can move forward without the ordinance going into effect.
John, go ahead.
Just a couple of questions. The number of signatures on the petition, if you could tell me that. And then secondly, the soonest that if we did decide to go to a vote would be the general election November of 2024. Is that correct?
No, but I'll address that. So the required number of signatures were 791 and they obtained?
I believe off memory, it was 1,072.
Okay. Yep, so plenty. And then as far as when it would go into, or when, if you decided to reaffirm, when would it go in? So it would either go to the next regular election, obviously in November 2024, or the legislature has now created specific dates on which you can hold special elections. So you would have to pick one of those dates if you didn't want to wait till the 2024 election. And so those are February 14, April 11, May 9, August 8, or November 7. So the resolution that I put together that you'll see in your packet is literally, we hereby call a, you know, either general election 2024 or a special election to be held on blank, you know, pick one of those dates.
Can I just ask another question on that?
Sure.
So if we decide to go with the reforming the ordinance and calling it an election,
mm-hmm.
are we locked in to having it go to have it being on the ballot? Or do we have any recourse in that period of time to say, like, we changed our mind, we're going to pull it back?
So, Mr. Mayor, that's an interesting question. I would think if the decision to repeal, boy, I wouldn't recommend that you consider that you have that option. If right. if you reaffirm, assume you're going
full,
you know, regardless.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no change.
Yeah, I mean, there's something, you know, it's like, well, if you haven't really started the process, you know, you haven't gotten to the actual election cycle, maybe you can change your mind, but the charter really doesn't give you that option. It's this route or that route.
Okay. All right. So I just wanted to make sure that there was really clear that there wasn't any wiggle room there.
Yeah, I would suggest you don't think that there is.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions, Nancy?
If there was an election in 20, could there be one in 2023? We could call a special election. And a question for you, Chrissy, do you have an estimate as to what that would cost the city?
Councilmember LaRoche, I don't have those numbers offhand. However, I can tell you that we typically do not budget for elections on off years.
Mm-hmm.
So I could look into that for you.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? All right. So I guess when we get into the meeting on Tuesday, our decision will be made. You really don't need anything at this point in time, do you?
No, Mr. Mayor, because frankly, you're queued up to go either way you want to go as a council. So it'll just be up to you to have your policy discussion and pick one. For you.
Is there any other discussion the council wants to have amongst ourselves in relationship to this?
I'm fine.
Fine.
All right. Tuesday we will find out.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. That's all we have on our agenda. So we had these at our DS just for our viewing pleasure.
And I'd be happy to walk you through them, answer any questions if you have any. I mean, the memo that you got a couple of weeks ago, the maps illustrate that. It's the same data. It's just that the maps take a little longer to produce because there are errors in the data we get from the county, and we got to just, I won't get on to the details. Basically, the maps should be consistent with what you're seeing written in that one-page memo. But it's the same, the pattern you'd expect from what's been going on in the real estate market. Single family homes keep going up in value at a higher rate than any other type of property, especially owner occupied homes, slightly more of an increase or a percentage increase than rental properties. Apartments further below, more modest increases, and then commercial properties are basically flat, maybe even declining. And what that all adds up to is the same pattern we saw last year, where the tax burden, not because of anything the city is doing, but simply because of what the real estate market is doing, more of the tax burden is shifting towards single family houses and away from commercial property. A good example is the Crystal Shopping Center. They were blue last year, which is more than a 10% decrease. This year, they're in the green category. Which is a less than a 10% decrease, but they've had two straight years of property tax decreases, 22 and 23, for the Crystal Shopping Center. You know, that's just because of what the commercial real estate market is doing when compared to the residential market, especially single family homes. So that's the story you're seeing in those maps. And I'd be happy to answer questions now or at any future time.
Yeah. So really, when I look at these maps and compared to the biggest change is more commercial came through last year than what we really thought as far as the decline. So we did experience more decline last year than this year. And the residential was still smoking in 22-23. So we're still at quite a bit of a shift. We're still looking at approximately, just looking at the maps, kind of spitballing, about a 15% shift. Because we got a lot of red in residential. We got a lot of orange. And then we have green, so anywhere from 10 to 15. That's kind of what that looks like, right?
Five to 15.
Sure. Yeah. Spitballing. Yeah. Go ahead, John.
So commercial real estate values have either been flat or in decline for the past 2 years.
Correct.
That's you know, the net difference.
With some exceptions. And you'll see on the commercial industrial map, you'll see some red and some orange. Those are mostly industrial properties. Industrial is a very different story for retail and office. But most of what Crystal has in terms of non-residential property is commercial, retail, not much office, but we do have a lot of retail. And as you all know, the retail market, even though we in Crystal, we don't have as much vacancy as you might think compared to other suburbs, our vacancy rate's actually pretty low. I know nobody believes that, but that's the truth. Mm-hmm. That doesn't change what the metro-wide commercial real estate market is doing in terms of property sales. And those sales are what the assessors are basing their property valuations on throughout the whole market. And so it's really a story of retail. And even if commercial values are stable, or if they're even increasing a little bit, when houses are going up 10, 15% a year, that, you know, commercial can't, I mean, the burden is going to keep shifting to residential just because of the way our property tax system is structured, not having anything to do with, you know, anything the city has control over. That's simply the real estate market pulling the tax burden away from commercial and putting it more on residential.
And in what we're currently experiencing with higher interest rates decreasing in property values again, it will take... Chances are we'll start to see that flip next year. Is that correct?
A year or two. Right. So the 12-month period ending September 30th of 2022, so the 12-month period that just ended, that is what the assessor will use to set property values in January 2023, and that will impact property taxes payable in 2024. So there's a 1.5 to 2 year lag built into the system. It looks like the residential market started to soften right around this fall.
Yep.
So that will probably show up in the next assessment cycle, which will affect values in January 2024, which would affect property taxes payable in 2025. So if I had to make a prediction, I would say that value, the shift in values and tax burden, helping to reduce the burden on homeowners, probably wouldn't start to show up until 2025.
Yep. Go ahead, Nancy.
Yep. John, just a quick question, just to clarify and verify, I should say, on the table on the sheet you gave us, the $307 dollar change, does that mean it's $307 more per year per homeowner?
Yes, those are all annual
fees. Annual fees, thank you.
Yeah, and that includes all taxing jurisdictions, not just the city.
Okay, great, thank you.
All right, well, thank you for that. Last chance for questions. So, go ahead, John.
So, given the fact that the commercial market is soft or softening, is there any potential opportunities for the city to buy a piece of property to redevelop?
Well, the problem is the commercial properties that, if you look at the map, that seem to be doing the best in terms of what the assessor thinks they're worth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those commercial properties tend to be the smaller ones. I need to open up my own copy of the map here.
Because you have the green section, and I see like in the south, there's a couple, you know, kind of north, I suppose, right?
Again, what we have now in Crystal is, you know, most of the larger commercial properties that might be good redevelopment sites, for example, because they've got a lot of parking lots, they don't have a lot of vacancy. I mean, really, I mean, when we're running retail vacancy at 5 to 10%, that's outstanding. Mm-hmm. Like that's in any economy in any suburb, that's not bad. That's actually pretty good. Some of our vacancies are more visually prominent. So you get this kind of the social media story about all the vacancies in Crystal. But in terms of just compared to other suburbs and looking at how much, we've got 500,000 square feet of retail space just in the area around Bass Lake Road and Broadway. The vacancy isn't really that much there. But so you've got mall owners up there who've got low vacancy, so they're getting rent, right? They're getting rent from those spaces, but their property tax bills keep going down because of the real estate market shifts. That's the sweetest spot to be in, right? If you don't want to sell and you just want to earn income off your real estate, declining taxes and increasing rents, your margin just gets bigger. Mm. So they are not motivated to sell for potential redevelopment. And that is that is a challenge for us, is that we would, you know, how do you find a willing seller in that environment, right?
Just one. Go ahead. So, like, I think of that liquor store that's on West Broadway that and vacant for years. I mean,
kind of
right.
I mean, you got the taco truck there, so it's kind of used. But
well, no, I'm not thinking the one on Bass Lake Road. I'm thinking the one that's on West Broadway. It's like the old Hub liquor store or something like that.
Yeah, it's up at the north end of the city at 1500 block of Broadway. Was
that? Did that used to be Lube Liquor?
Yes.
Lube Liquor. Yeah.
Our favorite.
Oh yeah. So I mean, like, what about like something like that? I mean, you know, there's no income coming from that place, right? It's just, you know,
if their taxes are low enough, they don't need to make a lot of money to make money,
I suppose.
Right, they write it off anyway.
But I think the problem there is that with those smaller parcels is, even if you were inclined to purchase and, I guess, demolish or repurpose the buildings or do something different with it, a lot of them are small isolated parcels. That's a good example. What do you do with that? This little commercial sliver wedged between two apartment buildings. What do you do with it other than what it's already being used for? It's no longer a liquor store. It's just kind of a general commercial building. But what would you do with that, right? I mean, developers want bigger sites. So redevelopment isn't a choice there. So what would the city do? I mean, that's probably maybe we should have an EDA work session next year about this topic. We haven't done one of those in a couple of years, but that combination of low vacancy and declining tax burden for owners of commercial retail buildings, for most of them, not all of them, makes for very unmotivated sellers.
Okay. All right. I think we have our questions answered. Thank you. We are adjourned.